Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate innovative professionals producing better results in less time. I'm Stone Payton, your host, and I'm joined by my producer and co-host, Lee Cantor. How you doing, Lee?
I am doing great, Stone. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm all fired up to attack 2009. What'd you do over the holiday?
Just hung out with family, got the studio up and running, the usual fun and games. What about you?
I love the new digs, man. This is great. And we have some marvelous guests this year, and we are starting off with a gentleman by the name of Phil Newbold, who is the CEO of Memorial Hospital and Health System. Are you with us, Phil?
Yes, I'm right here in sunny South Bend, Indiana.
I just have to ask, what is the temperature in South Bend, Indiana right now?
Well, it's about 24 degrees, but the sun's out, which is nice. And so we have had a very icy December, but looking forward to a great 2009.
Well, I have been so excited to have you on the show since I spoke with one of your colleagues a couple of weeks ago, and I got a chance to do a little background reading on all the cool work that you're doing. I've got a ton of questions to ask you, but I think we're going to lead off with a listener question. We have a feature with our show that listeners will write in and ask questions. And, Lee, we've got a question from Rock Connor over at Fusion Sleep Center.
That's right. It says that you've implemented impressive ideas like backpacks for the camping experience at Memorial. How do you keep your creative environment fertile for such innovative concepts?
Well, the first thing we try to do is involve almost everybody on the entire employee team in the innovation process. That's one of the things we found when we went and visited a lot of companies across America, that instead of just a few people, everybody, if they wanted to, could get involved in innovation. And so what we do is we encourage our employees, after they go through something we call Wow Wizard School, to get some good ideas that they see, some problems from the frontline people or problems that they see going on anywhere in our health system, and get them involved in helping pull together WOW project teams and getting after some creative, innovative solutions. So the idea is to get everybody involved in innovation.
Well, I want to hear more about this backpack idea. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Sure. We were in the process of building a $40 million heart and vascular center, inpatient beds, cath labs, and so on. And we invited a team called IDEO. It's one of the premier design firms in this country. And IDEO came in, and they did a lot of observation work at the front end. And they made a design challenge to us that, you know, we had an entire nation of campers upstairs, and we had no idea they were there. And the idea is that people come in for a cardiac cath procedure, and they're expecting, an outpatient procedure to be in for 7 or 8 hours. They find something. Next thing you know, they're in surgery or having another procedure done. And the families are stuck here, and they're actually camping on the second floor or the third floor for several days. They're scrounging for food, and they're looking for a backpack and a pillow and a place to sleep and directions and what to do and so on. And so what IDEO suggested to us is that we might consider taking care of the campers in a different way. And so we contacted a company called Zooka that makes this really interesting little carrier that's on wheels, and you can actually sit on it. It's kind of like a roller bag, but it has a removable backpack, and that we would put a pillow, a blanket, some food, some other things that might get them through this camping experience, if you will, in a hospital. And so that was one of our early prototypes, and it came out of the work with IDEO. And we began to look at some of these unmet needs that people have, that if you don't really observe them 24/7 and making sure that you really understand the problems and issues and experience that they're going through, you really miss a lot of things. And that's why some outside eyeballs from a different perspective, that's what IDEO does, really does help see things that you'd never see on your own.
How did that impact, what's the ROI on something like that? Is there a way to
track it? We have tracked ROI. We got some very good advice on this from the folks at Procter & Gamble when we were down there doing an InnoVisit. They said, look, put a dollar amount out on all these projects that you have going on. track it very carefully all year long, and then you'll be astounded at the kinds of ROIs that you see. So for the last 3 years, we've been tracking that pretty carefully, and we've averaged somewhere between a range from 120 to 300% return on
wow.
all of our innovation efforts, and this is all audited. And the idea is if you take the time to track it, people kind of leave you alone after that because we're not making anywhere near those kinds of returns anywhere else in our health system.
Well,
so innovation has a tremendous return on investment, but you got to track it very, very carefully and set up all of the metrics and so on.
And who helped you with the tracking?
The tracking, we got some other good advice from Whirlpool that we ought to put together an electronic pipeline that sort of manages all where all of these different projects, because you end up with dozens of innovative projects all over your organization, and have an electronic pipeline so that the people register their projects and they track them at the various phases and they keep track of the budgets and the management of the money and so on, so that when you get to the end of the year, it's pretty easy to tote up both all of the returns that you've had, new revenues, new gifts, and that type of thing, as well as how much you've spent. And again, we get much of this from going out doing our inno visits to these wonderful companies that share their learning with us, and that's the way we put the tracking mechanism in for our ROI.
Is this something you schedule regularly?
Yes. We go out on visits on a regular basis. I think we've now done over 40 of these what we call inno visits, and you go out and you begin to make contacts and network, and it's Whirlpool and it's Baxter and then it's Microsoft and it's Nike and on and on and on, all these companies around America. And what happens about the third or fourth visit is the balance sort of starts tipping away from you doing all of the learning, because the companies that you visit want to know, gosh, what's Nike doing about this, and what's Whirlpool doing in this, and what's Procter & Gamble up to here, or GE, or whoever it is. And so the more you do, the more you learn, and then you have a chance to share also broadly on what other folks are doing. And those are done on a very, very regular basis for our team here at Memorial. We often take our board members, because then they are up to speed on a lot of what senior management's up to. And we did that initially because we wanted to have a board-approved policy on innovation. And then we also take members of our medical staff and senior leadership at every level and in every area, so that you really build a competency around innovation for your organization. We've been doing those for about 5 years, and we just have done them within the last few months. So we're constantly doing these really fun learning InnoVisits.
You know, you made it, I guess, when people are InnoVisiting you. Are people coming to you?
Yes, we just had GE Medical down here for an entire day. We've had Intel, the folks from Procter & Gamble. So we definitely host as many as we possibly can get. That's really our intention, is to get them to South Bend and to Memorial, because then we can figure out, once they're here, what they might be interested in doing with us. We're probably not going to invent the next Post-it note or duct tape or Velcro or whatever might be coming down the pike, but these companies have an incredible R&D function going, and they're really looking for places to test things. And so we serve often as a test bed for a company to try out a new product or have access to our patients or medical staff or whatever it might be to develop their products and test them. And so that's really something that's important, but you have to get them here to sometimes spot those opportunities. And so inno visiting really, I think, is the number one thing that anybody that's interested in innovating can do, is get out of their comfortable surroundings and what they know best and go out and learn about innovation across America and see what's possible. And then that energizes teams. They bring that learning back. They adapt it to their own organizations. And that, I think, is the first thing that anybody or any organization can do Monday morning at 9 o'clock for very, very little resources.
Can you talk a little bit about you mentioned that there's a lot of collaboration, obviously, with you and other companies, and you have a very open policy of innovation within your own firm. But when you look at outside of that group, is this something that innovation must be like a top down, or do you think that that it's possible like mid-level people can really get on board with this?
Well, the model that we use is based on Tom Peters' WOW project methodology, and he makes the case that even if you don't have a lot of seeming authority and responsibility, you have some control over your workplace and the things that you do. And if you start thinking that every management assignment and every function that you do can be turned into a WOW project, infused with innovation and creativity and imagination, it doesn't make any difference where you are in the organization. You can begin to practice and put into place a lot of innovation. Now, having said that, if you can have an organization that develops and adopts an innovation policy and an R&D function, research and development type of function, oh my goodness, then you can do it across the entire enterprise. And that's really what we did with the InnoVisits. We took a lot of board members and senior leadership, so we actually developed an innovation policy, and policies tend to get a lot of resources. But even if you don't have one of those, you can get going on a WOW project any place in your environment and really have some fun, make a huge impact. Once people see the excitement and the energy and the passion and enthusiasm, it's much easier then to go on to the next project and the next project after that.
Phil, beyond technical innovation, why is innovation so important in healthcare? I guess, you know, some of us maybe initially had the idea that, you know, if people are going to be sick, they're going to come to you anyway.
Well, I think what we find in healthcare specifically is that we're not very innovative within hospitals and health systems. We buy a lot of new technology, but we don't really have R&D functions and innovation policies literally in any hospital in the United States. It's just not something that we invest in so that we can change and chart our own future. And so what we find is that organizations purchase a lot of technology and wait for change and so on to happen, but we think it's important to get out in front of all of that, set aside some resources. We set, say, 1% of our revenue, a very modest amount, and that should go into an innovation policy with a whole set of initiatives that then gives the organization license to innovate absolutely everywhere in the patient experience. The practice of medicine, you're right, is very conservative. People do get sick and they come to you, but believe me, the kinds of experiences that people have in hospitals and doctors' offices and clinics and so on can be dramatically and radically improved by using the principles of innovation. So even though people get sick, they may not come to your organization and your physicians, and they may have a pretty crummy experience. Innovation gives you the ability to transform that crummy experience into something that just leaves them saying, wow, I've never had that kind of a healthcare experience in my life. That's going to make an organization successful, and I think that's going to go a long way in making sure that people have a lot more trust and confidence in the American healthcare system.
And I have to believe you must be attracting the best talent with an organization like that as well.
Well, if you didn't do it for any other reason but HR or for talent reasons, innovation is one of the most transformational, because the people with lots of talent, the people with good ideas, the people with lots of options can go anywhere. They don't have to work for your organization. They want to work, in many cases, around leading-edge practices where their ideas and suggestions are valued. They can actually make a suggestion or come up with an idea and work on it and actually see it get implemented. That's going to not only attract but retain the best talent in the world. So innovation is really key in making sure that you get the best and brightest working for you and your organization.
I saw you got some great press in the Wall Street Journal not too long ago. I would love to hear a little bit more about Memorial BrainWorks and the Innovation Cafe. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, a couple of different things here. BrainWorks is one of our newest creations. There's a lot of new science out there around what is it that we can do to make sure that our brains stay as fit and healthy all the way through life, so maybe we can put off the day when we get Alzheimer's or early dementia, or we have forgetfulness and memory problems. There really is some things that you can do today that we can teach people, regardless of their age, regardless of their circumstances, how to improve their memory, how to improve their cognition. And that's one of our innovative projects, is to try to come up with a setting where that works. And we're trying to see whether or not there's a business case or a business model that fits underneath that. You'd think maybe like curves for the brain concept, where you have a lot of retail settings and so on. We're not sure that there really is a market and that's the best place, but that's one of the things we're experimenting. The other thing that we did very early on is to put together a space where we could teach and bring people together that's a tangible, visible evidence that innovation is really important and alive. And so what we did is we took a deli that was actually in operation for about 6 months in one of our medical office buildings here on campus. And when that went out of business, we cleared out all the real food and put in a lot of fake food. You can walk in, you think you're in a deli, but the food's not really real. But what we did is we built the curriculum that we're teaching for WOW projects in one display case around a lot of food, and then the next one is the IDEO deep dive process, then the next one is the Pine and Gilmore experience economy teaching, and so on. And it's a fun, creative, interactive, highly stimulating setting that lets people learn. That's where we do all of the WOW Wizard School teaching. That's where we do a lot of our visits, that companies that come visit us. And it's very popular with employees. It's very popular with people that visit here. And it also has a little bit of prototyping center in it and so on, so that we really can use that in a very different way to get across the point that innovation is a very important core competency, something we really need to keep on the agenda, and something that everybody in the organization can participate in.
Well, you sure do have a lot of irons in the fire, and you've got a new book coming out as well, right?
Say that again, please.
You have a new book?
Oh, yes, we're working on a book on innovation, and I think it's tentatively titled Wake Up and Smell the Innovation, and it's one that pulls all of our learning and teaching over the last 5 to 7 years together, and we have a particular way of teaching innovation that we think is fun and creative, and people remember it. And so what we do a couple, three times a year is share all of our learning in something called a Day at the Innovation Cafe, where we invite hospitals and companies from all over the country to come and spend a day with us. We'll share everything that we've learned on our innovation journey. We like other people to share what they've learned as well. And that is sort of going to become the basis then for a book, and we've done several articles and lots of seminars and so on. So the more you share, the more you receive, and so that's always one of those spiritual principles that we put into practice in our innovation work. And so far, it's been a wonderful, wonderful adventure, and we continue with lots and lots of learning around innovation.
Memorial is so fortunate, Phil, to have CEO and senior leadership so engaged in innovation. What advice, if any, do you have for those who may be in organizations and are looking for ways to get their senior leadership and their CEO genuinely engaged in innovation?
Well, here's what I recommend. First of all, is try to go out and do some of these visits and InnoVisits. And if somebody is trying to get their senior leadership interested, set up an InnoVisit and then invite one of them along. They'll come back with a wonderful experience and then do it to a second and a third. And pretty soon people are thinking, hey, this innovation stuff's pretty interesting. I learned a lot. And so you use the InnoVisits to help get them in. The other thing you can do is to send out an article, a series of articles. Say pick 5 or 6 articles that you think are really interesting around the topic of innovation. We often get them from Fast Company magazine or Harvard Business Review or Inc. or Entrepreneur or Red Herring or one of those places, send out five or six and say, look, we're going to meet on the topic of innovation at Starbucks at 7:30 on Tuesday morning for five or six Tuesdays in a row. Here's the articles that we're going to read, one each week, and you send that out to 25 or 30 of them. If anybody's interested in innovation, come on and meet us at 7:30 at Starbucks on Tuesday, and we'll talk about it. At the end of those 5 or 6 weeks, I can almost assure you that there are 5 people at least that haven't missed a one. They are absolutely incredibly passionate about innovation. Their hair is on fire trying to get started with something in their organization. And that's what you build the sort of the core nucleus around. It's not going to happen if just one or two people, but if you get about 5 folks that are really interested and turned on about this innovation stuff, you can really begin to get an organization going. So that's what I always recommend as a good way to let people self-select in around the topic. That's called a journal club, and it works every time.
Wow, I like it. Well, we could talk to you all morning, but and we are running out of time here. But how would someone, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you if they wanted to talk about maybe scheduling an inner visit or maybe just get some more information and tap into some of your ideas and resources?
Well, there's 2 ways. You can get on our website, which is qualityoflife.org. And there's an innovation section there. Or you can get onto our blog, wakeupandsmelltheinnovation.com, and there's a place to go for contacting us there as well. So either way, and we'd like to talk with people that are interested in innovation, find out what others are doing. And many people have worked at Whirlpool or Nike, and now they're in a healthcare job or vice versa and so on, and those people bring a tremendous learning because they've worked in both the not-for-profit, the profit side, and that's really good cross-learning that's very, very important. So, again, the more that you share, the more you're going to learn, and we think that's a great way to build a wonderful innovation community.
Yeah. Well, speaking of sharing and learning, we have a little tradition here, Phil, on the High Velocity Radio Show, where we ask each guest toward the end of the interview, if they would, to please share a mistake that they've made somewhere in their career, and really, more importantly, what they learned from it. Could we get you to do that for us?
Sure. I can think of one very, very specific and a very large one. About 10 years ago, we were acquiring an enormous number of physician practices. This trend was sweeping across the United States. We were involved in it, and we were acquiring a lot of physician practices, and this was new, and we weren't really managing very well, but we just kept doing lots more. It was a Monday afternoon, about 3:30 at a management meeting, and I had this gnawing feeling that, you know, we ought to really stop and really take stock of where we are, make sure that we're really on target and doing the right kind of thing. And I didn't listen to that. We went on. I think we acquired another 18 or 20. And in the next few years, we had to unwind every single one of those virtually. And the lessons learned there was to trust your gut instincts. If there's a little voice sitting on your shoulder saying, wait a minute, or if there's something in your gut that says, you know, there's just something not right about this, you got to learn to listen to that. And since that time, I actually went out and took a year-long fellowship in intuition, where you really worked on that side of us, the kind of the right side, the creative, the intuitive side, so that you pay a lot more attention to these little nudges and urges and these things, the hunches and things that happen kind of right in the pit of your stomach. Those are really important signals that something's going on you need to pay attention to. And when we do, it's wonderful. It works every time. And that's certainly one of those times I completely ignored it, and we paid a dear price as a result of that.
Well, Phil, thank you for that. And it has been an absolute delight having you on the show.
Well, I've enjoyed it, and there's nothing, I think, that's more exciting and more timely and more important in a bad economy than reinvesting in innovation, creativity, imagination, and making sure that we absolutely create the best experiences possible for people.
Oh, thank you so much. Phil Newbold, CEO, Memorial Hospital and Health System.